The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. Lord, you fight my great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. In through the
excited, and I think we're getting close to that time when we will be able to gather once again. So we can hardly wait, and we look forward to that time. Last week's message was from Psalm 46, and it was titled, "We Will Not Fear." We were reminded that there is really no need to fear anything because we have a refuge, a stronghold in God. And also because, as the psalm says, there is a river that flows that makes glad the people of God, referencing the Spirit of God. Towards the end of the message, I made reference to Matthew 14 and the storm the Lord's disciples were caught in out on the Sea of Galilee. And we noted a correlation between Matthew 14, 25 and Psalm 46, verse 5. In the Matthew 14 story, Jesus went to his disciples, it says, just before dawn. And in Psalm 46, which is about Israel being surrounded by the Assyrian army, the fifth verse says that God will help her, Jerusalem, at the break of day, which he certainly did. God was well aware of Israel's plight in Psalm 46, and Jesus was just as aware of the disciples' situation fighting the storm throughout the night. In other words, God is always aware. He is always involved, always working and moving, even when it doesn't seem like it, even when it appears to be the darkest time of our lives. There is always that just before the dawn, just before the break of day. Why? Because he truly is our rescuer, our deliverer. Listen to Psalm 112, verses 6 through 8. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will have no fear of bad news. Don't you like that? Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. And at the end of the day, they will look in triumph on their foes. But God wants us to know what he wants us to experience when the storms show up in our lives, when it seems like trouble has us surrounded, that we can be still. In the midst of the raging storm, when we're discouraged and weary, and we will hear him say, as we look for him, his voice will say, "Don't worry, it's me." He's in our midst. He cares about us deeply. He's going to see us through so we can relax. We can trust. We can be still and know that he is our promise-making, promise-keeping God. Today, I would like to offer further encouragement from God's word for all of us. So take your Bible and please turn to Psalm 107. It's a great psalm. I just want to begin with the first couple of verses. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever, for he is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe." You see, Israel's story is our story as well. And it is the story of the redeemed. We have been rescued and delivered. And what God has done in your past storms of life with regards to being your refuge and your rescuer, deliverer, and redeemer, he will continue to do in the present and in the future. So for the next few moments, let's take a look at this, because I think sometimes we suffer with short-term memory loss. Sometimes we forget what God did for us in the past, that he can and will do it again. Sometimes we just need to be reminded about what we need to do when we are caught in the middle of a raging storm. You see, being in a storm forces you to walk your talk. It forces you to put your faith into action. How do you do that? How do you walk your talk in the midst of the storm? Well, Psalm 107 provides us with some amazing guidance, instruction, and encouragement. This psalm actually gives us four different situations that are not only describing various times in the history of Israel, but are also descriptions of the predicaments of people of any era, age, or time. Perhaps where you or someone around you might be even presently. In verses 4 through 9, we see a confused, lost traveler needing direction who finds a guide. In verses 10 through 16, we see a weary captive needing freedom who finds a deliverer. In verses 17 through 22, we see a sick soul needing healing who finds a physician. In verses 23 through 30, which will be the focus of the message today, we see a storm-tossed sailor needing calmness and peace who finds a haven, a safe harbor. Of course, the common denominator in all of these situations is that of people who, when brought to the place of desperation, sought the Lord with intensity. These people weren't simply chatting with the Lord during their 60-second time of devotions. They cried out to Him. So let's take a closer look, and I'm going to start at verse 23 of Psalm 107. It says, "Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, His wonderful deeds in the deep. For He spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wit's end." And so, first of all, we're reminded that our story of redemption really does begin with this, the redeemed crying out to our God. The psalmist describes merchants experiencing the same kind of storm at sea that the disciples experienced in the Gospels. Have you ever been there at your wit's end? When the storm is so overwhelmingly raging that it seems that your mind has been so intoxicated with fear and you have exhausted all of your strength, all of your ideas. Maybe you're there right now. Maybe you've done everything you know to do and you haven't been able to fix it on your own. Maybe you've done everything you know to do, and the tension in your marriage continues to build. Your children continue to rebel. Your health continues to be an issue. Your finances continue to be in a serious downturn. If you are at your wit's end, in the midst of the storm, you basically have two options. You can give up. You can decide that Christianity doesn't work after all, thinking your life is falling apart and God just seems to be asleep. So let's forget the whole thing. That's one option. Or you can do what Peter did. You remember, right? And this takes us back to Matthew 14. The Lord, He says, "If it's you," now remember, Jesus has come to them just before dawn. They've been fighting a storm all night long, and when they see Jesus coming to them, walking on the water, they think they're seeing a ghost, and they are frightened. And then Peter finally comes around, and he says, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Remember, it's a raging storm. "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, hear this now, cried out, "Lord, save me." And then, of course, there is the story in Mark chapter 4 where we find the disciples in another storm on that same Sea of Galilee. And it says they went to where Jesus was in the boat and woke him up, crying out, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? It wasn't an eloquent prayer. They cried out in desperation. You know what? It doesn't need to be eloquent. It just certainly was effective, wasn't it? In the midst of your storm, you need to do the very same thing. Cry out to God and keep crying out to Him until the storm has passed. Now let's look back at Psalm 107 and notice verses 28 and 29. Notice what it says. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. We see this very same phrase also in verses 6, 13, and 18. I hear people say, I tried that and it didn't work. I cried out to God for help and nothing happened. Well, my question is, how long did you cry out? For a few minutes, maybe an hour, a day, for a week? It could possibly require longer. The idea here is to call out, to pray, to cry out as long as it takes to get an answer. Sometimes, however, I think the problem could be we're not crying out to God in submission to Him. We're snapping our fingers and demanding that He do our will, submit to our wants and our desires and our timing. There's a big difference, of course. We need to cry out to Him in surrender to His lordship in such a way that we clearly and open control of the storm. You're in control of my life, and so I'm going to trust You with the results. Now, we must understand the results may not always be what we think they should be. But we can be sure that the results will always be what God knows they should be and will always work out for our good. Romans 8, 28. In the midst of the storm, cry out to God and keep crying out to Him for as long as you have breath. The Bible is filled with example encouraging us to continue and to always make this a priority of calling out to God and crying out to Him. It lets us know that by prayer, fire had been quenched, water divided, the mouths of lions shut, iron gates opened, the windows of heaven swung wide open, diseases removed and health restored and sin forgiven and grace bestowed and enemies scattered, the blind restored and the devils cast out. Church, let's call out to God. It works. He hears. He answers. This is our story. God commands His people, if they are in dire straits, difficult and troubled times, to cry out to Him. He will hear. He will answer. Once again, this is our story, the story of the redeemed. Secondly, as part of the story of the redeemed, we find that the redeemed allow God to lead them. Look at verse 30. It says, they were glad when it grew calm, and He guided them to their desired haven. There is an amazing principle that exists in the Christian life. We know it, but sometimes we lose sight of it. It's really quite simple. Here it is. If you ask for God's guidance, He will give it to you. I would be remiss if I didn't mention James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. And so you can say, God, I have completely messed things up by trying to do things my way. What can I do to get back on track, back on your path? Cry out to him. Humble yourself and call on him. He will guide you. Whatever area you are needing guidance in, never forget that where God leads, where he guides, he always provides as well. When we seek his guidance, he guides us. When we seek his direction, he gives us direction. When we place our future in his hands, he takes care of our future. Verse 30 says, he guided them to their desired haven. There's a place where you and I want to be. That place which Scripture describes as our shelter, our refuge, our strong tower. He can get you there if you let him guide you. You have to let him map out the course. The journey may take you on a route that you wouldn't have chosen for yourself. It may include some high winds and some hard rain. But if you follow his leadership, he will get you to your desired haven. Let God guide you. Some of you may say, that's good advice, but how? How do I let God guide me? Learning to follow the leadership of God, I can tell you, is a lifelong process. But I am convinced that about 80% is a matter of the heart. In other words, if we want to make the right decision, if we want to please God, he will reveal the right decision to us. We call out, he answers. We then are to trust and obey. Having God guide you to your desired haven begins with turning your heart towards him. Open your eyes. Look for his guidance. Open your ears. Listen for his leading. He will guide you. We find yet another reminder with regards to our story. The redeemed remember to remember the faithfulness of God. Through the years, I have watched people, when they have experienced the storms of life, seem to forget about God's prior faithfulness. I suppose due to the ungratefulness in their hearts, they forget about God's provision for them in their past, and therefore they didn't see any hope for the future, so they gave up in the present, and who are currently not walking with the Lord. Here's a challenge for all of us. When you're going through a storm, make every effort to remember all that God has done for you in your past. David wrote Psalm 77 while he was going through a time of trial. Listen to his words and listen carefully. Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? And then David writes, then I thought. In other words, and then he remembered. To this I will appeal. The years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your majesty deeds, all your mighty deeds. We find something similar right here in Psalm 107, verse 31 and 32. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. This too is also seen three other times, verses 8, 15, and 21. The scripture is saying, once you're through the storm, talk about it. Sing praise to God about it. Tell everyone how good God has been to you. Brag on your God. God will get you through this storm like he has done every other time in the past. And when it happens, remember to thank him. Thanking and praising him both privately and publicly is a great remedy for an ungrateful heart. It's amazing, really, how an attitude of gratitude changes everything and will get you through whatever crisis you may be in. When the storms of life are raging, our attitude must be, God, you've already given me so much, more than I deserve. I trust you to get me are already there. Even though storms happen to everyone, they have a way of making us feel like we're the only one that has ever happened to. They make it seem like maybe God has forgotten us, that he's fallen asleep. Regardless of how you might feel, this isn't the case. It is not the truth. He is with you. He will get you through it. If you're on stormy waters or feel as though you're lost and wandering around, wondering what to do, whatever you have need of today will be found in spending time with your Lord, calling out to him, crying out to him. For you who are hurting, perhaps sick in your soul, feeling locked up and boxed in. For you who are being tossed around on the sea of uncertainty, know that whatever you or your family's need might be, will be met by crying out to Jesus. Alexander Graham Bell once said, when the door closes, another opens, but we often look so long and so regretfully upon the closed door that we do not see the one which has opened for us. The story is told of a young man who was desperately seeking God. And so he sought out a wise old man who lived nearby and posed this question, "Old man, how can I see God?" The old man, who obviously knew God at the depth that few experience, pondered the question for a very long time. And then at last he responded and he said, "Young man, I am not sure that I can help you because I have a very different situation. I cannot see him." It's important that we see Jesus, and it's just as important that we see him in the midst of the storm, listening for his voice, hearing him say, "It's okay. Don't worry. It's me." Now is the time to cry out to him. Keep crying as long as you have breath. Keep calling on him in prayer. Now is the time to let him guide you and lead you. And now is the time to remember his faithfulness. Thank him for all that he has done for you in the past, and prepare even now to thank him for seeing you through this current storm, and while you're at it, for the next one too. How do you want your story to read? What will the outcome of your story be? Let's pray. Lord, we, your people, need you so desperately, perhaps more than we even realize. And so we call out to you. We cry out to you, for there is nowhere else that we can go. Help us to believe with understanding that you do have a wonderful plan for our lives, and that plan is truly wonderful from your perspective and not ours. To us, wonderful means easy and comfortable and no problems and nothing but health and wealth for our entire lives. Help us to see you, Lord, to understand your ways, to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you love us and are for us and want nothing but good for us. And therefore, coming to grips with the very important truth, Lord, that sometimes that looks a little different than what we might think. We choose you. We submit to your lordship, to your leadership, knowing you will bring us safely home. This is our story, the story of the redeemed, and we praise you.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit wellspringoflifechurch.com.